Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg.
And James Krosvik.
Hey, James. Happy New Year to you. I don't think we've chatted or recorded since the New Year. I think we had one or two in the queue that may have come out in this year.
So yeah, I don't think we have chatted yet this year. I think it was right before Christmas or, you know, in between Christmas and New Year, somewhere in that range that we talked last.
Yeah. No, it's kind of a busy time, and I found that I got enough of a queue built up. Well, now I'm running short, so I'm glad you had some time. We're going to chat. And I understand you're coming up. I'm not sure whether this episode will come out before or after your 200th episode on the podcast you do, Rooted in Reliability.
Yep, that's coming up, I believe, in about 6 or 7 weeks, somewhere in that time frame.
Oh, okay. So you're talking like March time frame then?
Yes, oh, okay. March time frame.
Yeah, we'll be out before that. So I think that's a nice milestone. Good for you. And I understand that you've sent out requests for questions and ideas and topics and things like that, kind of a Q&A type session. Is that the idea?
Yeah, absolutely. So the idea is it's going to be almost like a panel discussion. So we're trying to gather questions beforehand, and we'll have a variety of people from different companies, industries, all on that panel to answer questions as we go. I'll be facilitating it. But I believe we've got a panel of about 5 or 6 people to go through all the questions. So we got people that work in AI. We got people who work in a plant. We have a couple trainers. We have yourself is on that panel. So there's a variety of different people within this that bring a tremendous amount of experience. So the plan is to answer all the questions people have, or as much as we can fit in.
Okay. Well, that sounds cool. I thought I was signed up for that, but I wasn't sure. I guess I'll go offline with you and we'll figure out what the details are, when I need to be where. But no, it sounds like an exciting way to celebrate the milestone. And the podcast just seems to be going gangbusters. I know you're getting questions, you know, a variety of different ways. And that, I think, is the real sign of it. The download numbers is nice, but you never know if somebody listens to it if they download it. But when they ask a question or they ask a follow-up on something, then you know they're listening. That's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. I get regular questions on LinkedIn now or emails asking, hey, can you talk about this or what about that? So definitely picking up a lot more steam.
Well, that's cool. So, James, one of the things I wanted to chat with you about is I got a notice from Eruditio the other day talking about an SMRP preparation course. And I figured there were courses out there and that you guys offered something like that. I'm in the throes of doing a ASQ CRE preparation course. Actually, I've got students from Italy and from Singapore and across the U.S., and I think there's one other one. I want to say Nigeria, but I'd have to double check if that person actually signed up or not. But it's an online course, and I got all people chiming in from all weird hours for them to attend the course. But there was a lot of interest in it, and I imagine you guys are getting a good amount of interest for the SMRP certification. And I know you see, as I do, people that have list of certifications after their name, right? They might even be a PhD, and then they'll still have SMR or CRMP and, you know, PHP and just a string of letters after it. What's your take on somebody that has a bunch of certifications and basically puts it in their address bar or in their nameplate or whatever?
All right. So a couple things.
Be honest now. Be honest.
I'm going to be honest. A couple things. So first, the course we offer isn't a prep course. It's a body of knowledge review. So we're talking about the SMRP body of knowledge and how you can apply that to your organization. Okay. It does cover all the 5 pillars within the SMRP body of knowledge, but it's a review class. We're reviewing that body of knowledge. We've never seen the exam. We don't know the exam. So it's not really a prep class.
Okay.
It's more of just a body of knowledge review class. But in terms of those certifications following someone's name, you know, I might be in that boat because I think I got 3 different certifications after my name in my address bar and all that other stuff. So yeah. I may fall under that boat. I think the value of those certifications, I think it's going to depend upon a lot of different factors. You know, I have three different ones. You know, I think each one plays a different role. Each one's important. Am I going to be adding any more? Probably not. I think that I'm at the point where enough is enough. I don't need to add any more. Mm-hmm. But if the purpose behind achieving one of those certifications is to validate knowledge, show that you know what you're talking about, I think that's okay. As long as you're doing the research behind it, the work behind it to support that certification. Where I think it doesn't provide value is the checkbox activity, where I'm going to get this, check it off, and never ever use it again, never continue my development in that area, and that sort of thing. If you understand, what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I had classmates in college that, you know, they called it spec and dump. You would learn just enough to pass the test, and then because of the nature of the way you learned it, you'd never use it. You never applied it. You never really understood it or remembered it, right? You'd stay up all night and study, and then you cram for the test, and then the next, after 2 minutes after the test, you couldn't pass it again, right?
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
And I think that goes to how certain certifications are done. Some are based on just an exam. Some are not. Some, for example, the MMP through PMAC, you have to take a series of courses, and then the final one, you actually have to apply all that knowledge in a project, write a capstone, or it's a capstone course, but then write a report on what you did, how did it work, what were the learnings, what were the successes or failures as part of that project, and what would you do differently?
Yeah, you know, I like that because it shows that you're applying the concepts of what they're applying this. You're demonstrating. And then you have like your boss or other folks that say, yep, that's real. And here's the report. And, but it demonstrates that you can use the material rather than answer a multiple choice question.
Correct. Now, I'm not saying that a strict certification exam isn't the right approach either. You know, depending upon how it's written, how it's administered, all these different things, it can demonstrate a level of understanding, as well. Yeah. So there's different advantages and disadvantages to each one. You know, it really depends on what you're trying to do with it. Like, I like the practical approach where you have to apply it, understand what worked or what didn't, why, all that's great. But also having that standardized approach with a certification exam is, I find, value added at some aspects as well, because it shows that you understand a wide range of topics.
Yeah. I understand why people do the exam based, because going over a report or review it's more expensive to administer and maintain. And even if it's with volunteers, it still takes a lot of energy to make that happen. I agree with you, is that the applied part of it is the better part, yet I think showing that you understand the language and the concepts and the ability to manipulate formulas, for example, and come up with correct answers is all appropriate also. But what I find with the exams is that it's an artificial time constraint, right? Now, at day-to-day job, if I'm doing something important, I get all day to make sure I get the analysis right, right? I get the time I need to do it. Sure, there's plenty of constraints, but I usually don't have 1.3 minutes to look up a formula, you know, that kind of thing.
Right, right. And one of the things I see with some of the certification exams, or I hear about these different certification exams, are they're less focused on that sort of thing, this specific formula, or this specific benchmark. It's more about the broader topics. They'll give you a scenario. Which one of these best applies in that scenario? So you're not relying on having to memorize formulas, because we can look those up anytime now. Yeah. It's not like a long time ago where it was difficult to find this stuff.
Yeah.
It's more about the application of the tools and techniques, even some of the certification exams. To develop exams like that requires a lot of effort and requires a lot of work. It's not as simple as what's the formula list for this or that. In most cases.
Yeah. Well, independent of whether it's offered by a professional society or through a university or a private enterprise providing education. We see lots of different people giving out certifications, and some of them are just participation, you know, recognition that you sat through the class, whether or not you did anything, which are, in my mind, can be as or more valuable. I mean, I took a class. It was a 1-week class on accelerated life testing, and I got a little, you know, suitable for framing certificate when I was done, saying I attended the class. But I use that. I use the stuff I learned in that class all the time, and I go back to those notes all the time. You know, it's one of those pivotal courses in my career. And nobody's ever asked me if I took the course or if I'm certified in this or not. It's, they see the test plans develop. They see the analysis and they see the logic in it. They see what I actually learned applied. And so that is, I think, back to your point, is if you're looking at a body of knowledge and you want either to have something on your resume or on behind your name on LinkedIn that says, yeah, I understand this field of information, I understand this body of knowledge, that's great if you really do, right? And then the second part where I see it really valuable is somebody that's looking at it as a milestone to achieve. And I see this with the CRE. It takes a combination of education and time in the field to experience before you can even sit for the exam. But then it's a pretty broad body of knowledge, and people go into it and like, oh, well, I never worked with availability before, but I need to know that. Or here's all these, the formulas, and some of these I'm rusty on. But what I find more valuable than whether somebody passes the exam or not is they are able to use hypothesis tests and control charts and Weibull analysis when it's appropriate. They recognize when and how to apply those things, because the work to prepare for that exam, or even whether they take the exam or not, just the work to learn that material expands their capabilities. Yeah, and I think that's a good piece of using it.
Absolutely. And I think that goes back to, you know, I think we had a previous conversation about training or conferences, mm-hmm. Where it's, you know, it's only going to be as good as the effort put in by the student. So if that student or person working towards one of the certifications, the prep work they're doing for that, whether it's a class that they're taking prior to expand their knowledge in a particular area, whether it's, you know, reading books on their own, those types of things, the level of effort they put into that is going to have a huge impact, notwithstanding that certification. Mm-hmm. But what I think people have to be careful of is there are so many certifications out there. Need to pick which ones are recognized, valid, held to a high standard, mm-hmm. those types of things. I think that is very important, because there are so many out there. Which ones do you choose?
Right. And if you have a long laundry list of initials after your name and nobody knows what they are, or recognize half of them as being really just participation ones, you're kind of puffing yourself up without any merit there. Now, you may actually know all that stuff. You may know all that material. You know, one of the things, and this is a bit of a tangent from the certifications that we're talking about, but EDX and Coursera and some universities now are offering bundles of courses, these massive open online courses types of scenarios. And then you can pay $20 or $50 to get a certification that you've completed the course satisfactorily. And then I think they actually grade your quizzes and tests and stuff like that, and that you've attended it all. I'm finding there's more and more organizations that are accepting those kinds of markers instead of a college degree.
Yes, there is a major consulting company. I can't remember who it is. It's PwC or Deloitte or mm-hmm. someone like that, where they said, and they've gone and made a change where that university degree or college degree is not mandatory based if you have the right experience, other educational activities. So whether it's those massive online open courses, whether it's different certifications, that sort of stuff, they've actually removed that requirement from their hiring process now, because they recognize that it shows that someone participated. They did just enough to get that diploma or whatever it is, mm-hmm. but that's not an indicator of how successful they will be in the future.
That's right. Yeah, it's and I think universities have done themselves a disservice. I remember I got a master's degree at Stanford, and the undergrads that were coming from Stanford into the graduate program, and I had 10 years of experience by then, right? I'd been working and taking these classes part-time. And then when I ran into more of my peers, the other students that were right out of college, they were struggling with the basics of calculus and struggling with the basics of just how to organize their homework and solve these more complex problems. And some of it was the lack of experience, but some of it was obvious they didn't pay attention in class. But Stanford wanted them to enroll the next year. And if they had funding, there was a lot of pressure not to grade them down. They wanted good grades. And I thought there was a lot of talk at that time about grade inflation. You can graduate from lots of colleges and party your way all the way through it. And it's kind of sad. There's not enough of a criteria there.
And so yeah. And that's why it's so important that it's what the certifications, the training, anything that goes behind it, it's up to the individual and their willingness to learn, try new things, apply themselves. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's like you said, some of these certifications are just instantaneous. You know this at this time, doesn't mean you know how to apply it or will use it in the future or anything like that.
Right.
It's just that milestone that I know at least this much.
That's right. And you know, I guess we're going to beat this one quite hard, is that you got to use it. It's the best way to master this stuff and to really learn a broad body of knowledge is, you know, look through the information and go, oh, I don't know much about that area. Let me find opportunities that I can actually use that stuff. And then I have to learn it. I have to go apply it. I have to go try it. I was fortunate where I worked when I first got into industry. I was a manufacturing engineer, and instead of just saying, oh, we're going to do SBC now, as they said, here, you guys, go figure this out. We need to understand the variability of our line of the product going through it. And this is a tool we think might work. Go sort it out. And then, Fred, you teach the first class on X-bar charts, you know, and Martha, you teach the course on, you know, estimating the variance. And so we ended up teaching ourselves in each other how to do it. But most of the time we spent on the floor actually trying it and seeing what worked and what didn't work and paying attention. We learned so much in that group. The boss was brilliant. He was the same guy that made us do an experiment every day. And we had to go gather data, set up hypotheses, gather data, and do the analysis every day. Now, some weren't all that useful, but we learned how to use these tools. And so that was pretty cool. But we didn't get a certificate for that, but we gained a wealth of information and knowledge and how to apply it. So there's lots of ways to get around doing it. The hard part is, and it comes back to why people go to get certifications or go to a university, is it's on their resume. It's a recognized marker that some organizations, some hiring managers use to say, oh, you should, if you have this certification, you should know these areas of information. Tell me how you use them, right? And then they can probe into that area. If you don't have the CMRP, well, then let's not ask a lot of questions about plant maintenance and plant factory operations and so on. If you have the CRE, let's ask about data analysis and using the various reliability statistics, for example. I think it's a marker on resumes for some people to open the door so you can have meaningful conversations. But I think that the AI in resume sorting is getting past that some. They're reading into the text saying, what did they actually accomplish? What are their results? So I think it's deteriorating the value of it. Not the knowledge, not the applied part, but the value of the MIT graduation diploma.
Yeah, I have to agree. It's applying that knowledge. It's the willingness to continue to learn. and do all those things. That those certifications, they're helpful. They may make you stand out, but they're only as good as the person that has them. That's right. And what they're willing to do to apply it.
I wonder if there's a certification we can get for podcasting. You know, if you get past 200 episodes and you have more than one listener, do we get a badge of some sort, you know, some marker for our resumes? Talk about learning it on the go. Just think how much we've picked up along the way and something that'll allow us to talk about what we want to talk about.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I just Googled it real quick. There is a podcast boot camp put on by UC Berkeley, Advanced Media Institute.
Oh, wow.
So it's a graduate level certificate program.
Oh, man. I wonder if we could test out of that, you know, or you know, use our experience to say we get that diploma. But, you know, in that case, it wouldn't matter because we're already doing it.
Exactly. Exactly.
Now, if what they teach in the class gave us a couple of hints of, you know, better ways to use music or how to interview better or how to improve our show, then I'd be all in. Well, I might have to check it out.
Yeah, I'm curious now. I want to see who the instructors are, what they're doing, see if that certificate program would help us.
Yeah, yeah.
In any way.
You take it and let me know. I just listen to your show. That's how I learn stuff. Then I it gets better that way. So anyway, James, I think the concept is pretty clear in this episode is you got to use it. You got to apply it. The best way to show that you know something is not to put three letters behind your name, but is to get results, to make things happen, to get things done, to solve problems, those kinds of stuff. So that's pretty clear. So anyway, is there still time, James? I think this episode will be coming out in another week or two. Is there still time for people to send you questions for your 200th episode?
Oh, absolutely. So we're planning on recording, I want to say, mid to third week of February. So as long as we get questions before then, we can get them worked into the panel interview.
Okay. But I also suspect that if you as a listener are hearing this after that time frame in, you know, in February of 2020, don't worry about it. I know James, and he loves getting questions, and I do too. So if you've got comments or questions for his show over on Rooted in Reliability, feel free to reach out to James and ask him some questions. And same for Speaking of Reliability. If you've got a comment or a question or would like to join the conversation, as I'd like to say, is let us know. Head over to ascendoreliability.com/go/SOR, and that'll take you to the page that'll work, go/SOR. And we'd love to hear from you, either James through the SOR show or through Rooted in Reliability. You'll get an answer. And same with the Speaking of Reliability. We'd love hearing from you. And if we can answer a question for you or help you get some direction or find a reference or a resource, we'll help you. And so that makes our day when we know somebody's listening. So with that, James, I think you've got some homework to do. Go figure out if this podcasting course at Berkeley makes sense. And then I'm anxious to hear about that.
Yeah, I'll have to take a look and let you know.
All right. Thanks, James. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Fred.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation if you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.